listening to Forecast, the marketing podcast for professional services leaders. If you're looking to generate more leads, win more deals, and take your firm to the next level, this show is your shortcut.
Hey there, and welcome back to the show. This week on Forecast, we're looking at how to choose your ideal clients, which is easily one of the hardest decisions that you'll ever have to make, but also probably the most important decision. It's the most important decision because almost everything about your business is driven by the clients that you serve. And if you look back at the last lesson on the business model canvas, you'll notice that we began the discussion with customer segments, because who your customers are determines what your value proposition is, what services you provide, how much you can charge, and so on and so forth, which is also what makes this really a very difficult decision. Because choosing to focus on one customer segment or a group of segments usually means that you're not going to focus on others, and that can be a really tough pill to swallow. Now, before we get into it, if you haven't yet joined us inside our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, you're going to want to check that out. That's where I will walk you through a proven 5-step framework to generate a flood of new business for your firm, and you can get immediate access to the entire course for free at 5leadgen.com. That's 5leadgen.com. And you can spell out 5 or use the number, either one works. Now back to our discussion on choosing your ideal clients. The reason why this idea of narrowing your focus to a specific segment of clients is really difficult for people to grasp is because it's kind of counterintuitive. You would think the more clients that you're willing to work with, the more clients you'll have. Or put the other way around, if you decide not to work with certain clients, you'll have less clients to choose from. Now, the question that people usually ask me when we get into this is, why would I want to turn away business? And that's a fair question. Why would you turn away business? Let's take a look. To start with, I want you to think about the clients that you already work with, your existing clients. And I want you to ask yourself, are they all the same? Chances are they're probably not all the same. There's probably a handful of clients that you really enjoy working with most. They're easier to get along with, they don't hammer you on fees, and they really value the work that you do. These client relationships usually end up producing your best work and some excellent referrals in the process. On the flip side, there are probably some clients that are not so great to work with. Maybe they're a little bit pushy, maybe they don't really appreciate you or your work, or maybe they're very, very price sensitive. Now, sometimes these kinds of deals are often necessary to pay the bills, but are otherwise a complete nightmare. And then there's probably a good number of clients who fall somewhere in between. They're not perfect, they're not ideal, but they're also not terrible. They're not a complete nightmare. They have their pros and their cons. Now, ask yourself this question. What if you could fire the bad clients and work with more of the good ones? What if you could spend all of your time working with ideal clients, the ones who appreciate you most, pay the highest fees, and help produce your best work? Not only should that sound appealing to you, but it also makes a ton of business sense. Let's look at an example. Let's take a look at the retail shopping experience way back in the 1950s. See, back in the 50s, everyone shopped at department stores. You would drive into town and you'd go to one store to get everything you needed. Dress shirts, jewelry, kitchen appliances, televisions, you name it. Not only that, department stores featured all kinds of experiences to keep you coming back. There were restaurants, there were games for the kids, there were special events. So when you went to the department store, you made a day of it. And then came the invention of the mall. Whereas department stores were mostly concentrated downtown, malls were being built in the suburbs, closer to where people lived. And in the malls, you not only had those big box department stores that carried everything, you also had small boutique shops that specialized in selling specific types of merchandise. And this was the beginning of the long and slow death of the department store. Because when consumers were in the market to buy something specific, they would rather go to the store that specializes in selling that item instead of taking their chances at some big box retailer that has everything, but may not have exactly what you're looking for. For example, let's say you're into leather jackets. Wouldn't you rather go to a store that exclusively sells leather jackets and has every type of leather jacket that you can think of than a store that may have a few of them beside the sock aisle? Well, it turns out that your clients are no different. That when buyers are shopping for professional services, they're looking for the professional or the firm or the consultant that's best suited to meet their needs. They're looking for the one and only professional that specializes in solving their specific problem. Now, you might be that person, but if you position yourself like a one-stop shop department store that does it all, how will your ideal clients ever know that you're the specialist they need? Now, there's still room in the market for the department store or the professional services firm that does it all. And guess who they are? They're the big firms. They're the ones with massive marketing budgets, huge downtown offices, and legions of cheap consultants to do their work for them. Those big firms can afford to be a one-stop shop. In fact, it's their business model. They get their foot in the door by offering one service, and then they upsell the client on three or four more services because they do them all. But if you try to replicate that business model without the scale and without the size and without the resources of a big firm, then you're going to go out of business really fast. In fact, here's exactly what happens when small firms try to act like big firms who do it all. You know what department stores are known for? Massive blowout sales. Every weekend, it's one sale or another. To keep customers coming in the door week in and week out, day in and day out, department stores need to offer steep discounts. And that's exactly what happens in a professional services environment. If you try to do it all and serve everyone, you'll attract the kind of clients who are looking to hire a generalist at a bargain because specialists demand premium prices and everyone knows it. So the choice in front of you is pretty clear. If you want to be a one-stop shop, that means you're going to cater to clients who want a generalist, not a specialist, and therefore are particular about fees because you wouldn't pay a jack of all trades the same rate to perform a service that you'd pay a specialist in that service. It just wouldn't make sense. Or you can choose to work with a specific group of clients and offer a specific set of services. You can choose to become the go-to firm in a smaller slice of the market. And then you can charge whatever you want. The key takeaway here is that if you want to demand premium prices, if you want clients to see you as the one and only solution to their problem, you have to position yourself as a specialist who can solve their needs. Because if you try to be a generalist, if you try to be a one-stop shop that does everything, nobody will ever know that you're the firm they should work with. So that's a wrap on this lesson, part one of our series on how to choose your ideal clients. At this stage, I want you to start thinking about who your ideal clients might be. Of all the different types of clients that you work with, all the different customer segments that you play in, who are the clients that are ideally suited for your firm and your services? Then, coming up in part two of the series, we're going to look at the four hard criteria that you can use to choose your ideal clients and build your firm around. Now, if you haven't yet subscribed to the show in iTunes, do us both a favor. Head over to iTunes, search for Forecast Marketing, find the show, subscribe, and while you're at it, leave us a rating and a review. It helps more people discover the show. And finally, if you haven't yet joined us inside our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, that is a great place to get started. You can join us inside the course at no charge at 5leadgen.com. That's 5leadgen.com, and you can spell out 5 or use the number. Either one works. Thank you so much for listening.